Welcome back to Gulf Coast Live. I'm Julie Glenn. It's been 6 weeks since Hurricane Irma made landfall in southwest Florida. Everglades City bore the brunt of the nearly 400-mile-wide hurricane, taking 10 to 15 feet of storm surge, and that left most of the town's homes uninhabitable. WGCU's Jessica Mazaros has been following the story in Everglades City and was there as recently as this morning. She joins us now in the studio. So, Jessica, did you see any temporary housing there today?
So I did a quick drive around, and I did not see anything significantly different this morning than what I saw last week Thursday. However, I just got off the phone with Interim Mayor Howie Grimm of Everglades City, who told me that the first of the trailer homes for emergency housing and temporary housing to people who have been displaced is rolling through us right now.
So he actually laid eyes on them?
So I'm not sure if he laid eyes on them, but he said that he has just spoken to somebody who said that they were coming in right now. And what that means is that it's not a handout. It's not, hey, come get your trailers. What that means is whoever has already gone through the process of applying for FEMA, got somebody to inspect their property and approve them for a trailer. And, you know, necessarily not everyone gets one. So that's basically what that means is the first of the temporary housing mobile homes are arriving right now, according to the mayor.
All right. We are talking about the situation in Everglades City where most homes are uninhabitable, soaked and moldy, and little sign of action from FEMA until just this morning. In a way, providing any temporary housing assistance. You can become part of this conversation, too, by giving us a call at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. On Facebook, we're at WGCU Public Media. And on Twitter, we're at WGCU using the hashtag GCL. So, Jessica, there are people all over southwest Florida that are still waiting for answers from FEMA. People in Immokalee, East Naples, Bonita Springs. We just covered the closure of the last emergency shelter in Florida this weekend right here in Estero. 154 people were turned out, many with no idea where to go, with little indication of what's to come of their damaged homes. So the situation in Everglades City is duplicated throughout this area. It's just much more concentrated there, as so many homes were overtaken by this storm surge. So I want to be clear, we're not ignoring any part of southwest Florida. It's just the concentration of the situation there is greater than in most other areas. So, Jessica, you've been there a number of times. How has the neighborhood feel kind of changed in the weeks after the storm?
Sure. So I've been there about once a week since Hurricane Irma hit Everglades City and dropped all that storm surge onto them. And the most significant changes driving in, when I first drove in, almost every roadway was covered in debris feet high next to me. Any road that you were turning onto, main roads, side roads, small neighborhoods. And now as you drive in, a lot of that has been cleared up. So that's great in, you know, in case it rains again and there's future flooding, that's not going to hopefully cause less of a problem. So that's the biggest difference. Also, the first few weeks, everyone was kind of cleaning up, and they were gutting out their homes, trying to fix, because immediately after the storm, it left about 2 inches of gray mud with sea lice in some people's homes that they had to take out. And for some people, it was really difficult. They had to use pressure washers to take that out. A lot of manual labor for people. And, you know, they had some volunteer organizations helping them out, but for the most part, a lot of people had to do this on their own because it was all hands on deck. Everyone had to deal with their properties.
Pressure washers inside their homes.
Bringing outside. Yeah, outside as well. Yeah, all their stuff was covered with it. Ugh. So, yeah. And they had to take out their carpets, take out their tiling, a lot of ceiling damage, roof damage. And so now when you drive in there, it's a little bit quieter, almost like, because I think that once it's been over a month. So now everyone has already done what they can. They've gutted it out and they don't want to do much more because they want their FEMA inspectors to come in and check out the extent of the damage before they can move forward. So they can't live there. So a lot of people are just not living there. They're staying other places. And so it's almost a little bit of a ghost town compared to when I first drove in the beginning, just after the storm. Everyone's helping each other out. They're busy. They're working on their lawns. They're working on their properties. And now it's kind of like they've done that. And now they're just waiting for help.
They're just sitting there waiting.
Waiting for a place to stay.
And as we mentioned earlier, there are some trailers coming into town today. But those are just for the people who have gotten to the point with FEMA that FEMA has deemed that that's the only recourse for the individuals. But there are a lot of people that you say haven't even heard from FEMA, but they filed and asked for assistance up to 30 days ago.
Yes. So I've talked to a few people who the last time they talked to FEMA was the just after the storm, about a week after the storm. They haven't heard. Somebody told me that it took them, you know, it was supposed to be 30 days. An inspector's going to come. They haven't seen an inspector. And Judy Barton is someone I spoke to last week, Thursday. She's lived in Everglade City for 49 years. She's a widow and lives alone in her house. And she evacuated from Hurricane Irma. But when she got back, everything in her home was destroyed. Barton says she applied for FEMA assistance just a week after the storm hit. And more than a month later, she still doesn't know if she's getting any financial assistance.
One lady came by and said she'd be back, and then I haven't seen her. I just want to know what they have. I don't know. So I don't have any idea what the assistance is and what I need.
When I asked Barton where she goes from here, she answered, I have no idea. And that's a common thing you hear from residents all over Everglade City, at least the ones I've talked to. A common answer is, I just don't know.
Yeah. Where are these people staying?
So some people, there's one woman who I talked to. She has a property on stilts, a small home on the property on stilts that survived the storm. But then the trailer was totally demolished. So they get to stay there. Other people are staying with friends. I know one woman who I spoke to, Patty Demery, is a mother of five. And when I spoke to her a few weeks ago, I haven't been able to touch base with her recently. But a few weeks ago, she was having to drive from Estero. She was staying at her mother-in-law's house and driving her all four of her kids who are in school to Everglade City to kind of keep some normalcy and take them back to school. So she was driving. It's about an hour drive back and forth from Estero, and the kids have, as she told me, sports and after-school activities. And her husband works in Everglade City, but where they had to stay, the only place they could stay was in Estero, an hour away. Adela Butler, somebody who I spoke to, and she said that's the one who told me that the woman who told me that she was promised an inspector within 30 days and still hasn't heard from anyone to come even look. And you know, you need an inspector to come in to determine whether or not you can get this mobile home.
Yeah, you know, and nobody really thinks about how to navigate FEMA and federal assistance or any kind of assistance when an emergency happens until the emergency has happened.
Right.
And it's pretty tricky. And I know that we've talked with FEMA a number of times, tried to sort out the two different kinds of assistance. Can you describe to me a little bit about that, between there's public assistance and individual assistance, and then how that process works for the individual assistance, which is what most people would be waiting on?
So the public assistance is, let's say the county wants to apply for FEMA assistance, and that has anything to do with the county, but anybody's personal property. So let's go back to the mayor. Mayor Grimm has been an advocate for his residents to say, hey, FEMA, let's get these mobile trailers in. But he doesn't know anything about the individual cases. He can't say, like, get this person this trailer. He's just saying, hey, you need to figure this out. You need to realize that the nearest hotel, if you want to put some – so basically, if you – FEMA wants to sort out all of their options first for an individual case. They want to look and see, where is the nearest hotel? Can we give you a hotel voucher? Can we find a rental property and give you and help you financially with that rental property as you rebuild? So it will be temporary. However, Everglade City is the area itself. You know, there's also three unincorporated areas, just about 1,000 people there. The nearest hotel is 45 miles away. So that's not reasonable to put somebody up in a hotel. That option is out. So basically it took FEMA about a month, according to Mayor Grimm. It took FEMA about a month to go around in circles and realize, okay, we have exhausted all our options. And now we have to do the mobile home. It's just not possible to, you know, to get people into hotels. And so once they figure that out, then, you know, it's up to FEMA to decide, you know, they have to bring in an inspector, like I said earlier, and they determine it for you. And then, you know, hopefully people can get these trailers as soon as today.
Yeah, well, this has been a learning curve for all of us. It's also been a learning curve for the mayor of Everglade City. He'd only been on the job for a few days when this storm hit.
Right.
How is he when you talk with him on your visits down there?
He's always busy. He's always full of energy. He's always got stuff going on. He's always involved with the residents. He's also, you know, he has his own business with Stone Crabs. You know, so he's always just kind of on the phone with FEMA. And, you know, his phone is always ringing. And it's kind of, sometimes I have to just kind of have to sit and wait for him. But I do, because I understand that he's a very busy guy. He's got his own business. He's got his residents. He's advocating for people. He's trying to get the county, the Everglade City area back up to some normalcy. So he's always busy. He's always advocating for them whenever I've been there.
And he's keenly aware about the trailers being the last resort.
Right. Yeah. And he's been saying this to them since the beginning. So I've been there. I think it was about a week after the storm. I talked to him and he was telling FEMA, like, we need to have these trailers as soon as possible. Can we get these trailers? And now it's more than a month later. We're getting them. So.
Yeah, so he's really busy because of the stone crab season opening up, right?
Right.
Could this be a silver lining?
It could be. So Mayor Grimm told me that it's the best stone crab the best start of the stone crab season in 8 to 10 years, and then they're attributing that possibly to the hurricane stirring up some stuff in there. Obviously, 8 to 10 feet of storm surge. There was some action in those waters, and he also mentioned to me that all boats have done about 5 times better than last year in terms of stone crab season, and guides have actually told him it's the best fishing they've had in 20 years, aside from stone crabs. It's really great fishing out there as well.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, there's a small silver lining, right?
Right.
We are talking about the situation in Everglades City, where most homes are uninhabitable, soaked, and moldy. Still waiting for some assistance from FEMA, but we're hearing just now that there are a few trailers that have been rolling into Everglades City, which is going to be some welcome relief for people who have cleared all the hurdles of dealing with FEMA. If you want to become part of the conversation, give us a call at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. On Facebook, we're at WGCU Public Media, and on Twitter, we're at WGCU, using the hashtag of GCL. So you talked with the mayor on the phone right before you came in and hopped on the air with us for the show today. What was his mood? I mean, did he sound kind of incredulous that he actually had trailers coming to town?
He sounded very excited that they were getting the trailers. And I also asked him about other things as well, in terms of just how the city is doing in terms of their businesses. So their airboats, you know, people can go out there. Their businesses are all up and running, all of them. And he says all except for one motel is up and running. About half of the restaurants are back serving people again. So it seems to be slowly progressing. So that's a good thing.
And people are getting up on their feet. So that's one way that people could probably support. You know, a lot of people want to know how they can help. And everybody, you know, their heart just aches for people that are stuck there just waiting and waiting. You want to help in some way. One way is to eat those stone crabs, because there's a lot of them, and maybe get down there and do an airboat ride and revisit our friends down in Everglades City to check it out, do the tourist thing.
Right, right.
I know it's a big draw for people from Europe, so it's probably going to – I'm sure they're going to recover and do well. So the airboats are running, and Everglades City is open for business.
Yeah, it seems to be. According to the mayor, he told me that it is. You know, there's still some things here and there. It's obviously not perfect. You know, even as it's – as much as the city hall itself is being had to be gutted and remodeled completely, you know, and the mayor and his city officials are in their own trailers and things like that. So, I mean, not everything is back to normal exactly, but they are rebuilding and they are open for business. So,
and when you were at city hall, you met someone that was particularly interesting. Can you tell me a little bit about the woman who works there in city hall? She went through a very unique experience with her husband.
So I spoke with Lisa Martini. She is a survivor of the storm surge. So she's actually I spoke with her. So she works for the water billing in Everglades City. And she was kind enough to share her story with me. It's a very painful story for her. But I was very grateful that she spoke to me about it. Her and her husband were in their trailer during Hurricane Irma when the flood water started rising into their home. And she had her husband who was already in poor health, as she describes it. You know, so she wanted to get him up and out. But she says that it you know, up until that point, if he couldn't go 10 steps without having to take a breath and rest, but they had to just get out of there. And she said once they got out of the trailer, they were walking in chest deep waters. And their goal was to go to a neighbor's home who had evacuated, which was on stilts, and wait out the storm on the porch, on the back porch, which was on stilts. And they waded through the whole storm. And she describes there was whistling winds. So it was really hard to even, she was trying to get some sleep, but also praying all night. She was laying on the floor. Her husband was sitting on the bench up there. And she said that at one point, the worst part that was really scary for her was the smell of gasoline, because the neighbor downstairs had three different cars and all the vehicles surrounding just floated. And so it just smelled like gasoline to the point where she said it made you feel sick. And so she was concerned that at any moment a spark, you know, if there was a spark, that it would all blow up. So this is all going on in her head. Also, the home that she was taking refuge in had lost its roof during Wilma. So she was like, every time the whole building shook, I was concerned that the roof was just going to come off. So there's all these concerns. And it didn't end there. Once the storm ended, she describes that so the storm hit Sunday, and the Friday after the storm, her and her husband had already been, you know, spent those days cleaning out that mud that I described earlier that was really difficult to, you know, you had to take out with pressure washing. And he started suffering, you know, she said he started kind of like crying and wailing and out of pain and threw up blood. And that she encouraged him to go to the hospital. And so they went to the ER, and she went to go get a rental car because, as I said, everyone lost their vehicles there. And when she went to the hospital, he was already, he hadn't passed away yet, but she couldn't talk to him. And he had passed away by the morning. And so she, you know, they actually just last week, 2 weekends ago, they spread his ashes out in Florida waters. His name is Lee Martini. So that's one story of survival. So, you know, and they've lived there for years, for decades, and they survived Wilma, and they just didn't think that any kind of storm surge like this would ever happen. And, you know, days after the storm, you think, okay, you're in the clear, you're just thinking about recovery, and then, you know, your husband's sick. And
she describes him as such an incredible personality too.
Yeah, she describes him as when the last time she saw him, or, you know, speaking, he was in the paramedics truck and just telling stories and talking with the guys, as she said, because he's a storyteller, and that's how he always was. Just talking about he's a ball of energy. He sailed boats, raced cars, and, you know, she said he did all those things and had a, you know, checked off a bucket list before the bucket list was a thing.
I love that quote. He checked off his bucket list before it was even a thing.
Yeah,
to do.
That's how she wants people to remember him. And, you know, it's a small area, so, you know, people know who they are and, you know, go up to her. And, you know, she says it's the hardest thing for her is when people go up to her and share their stories because they knew and loved him. But I think that he will be very much remembered there in Everglades City.
It was really nice for her to share that story with you, because I'm sure it's not easy. And then, you know, that grief, it'll just creep up on you every time somebody comes and says sorry and gives you a hug.
But she's amazingly working still, you know.
So she's
working in City Hall, you know. She's dealing, you know, there's people there and she's helping them out, and just keeps going, keeps working.
Where's she staying? I know that her home was destroyed.
She was staying with a neighbor right next door, and now she's staying with another friend somewhere else. And she herself just had a FEMA inspector come in and take a look. So she doesn't know yet what that means, but they've taken a look, and she doesn't know what the status is. I spoke with her Thursday, so I don't know what the update on that is. But last I spoke with her, she did get an inspector. And she doesn't. But she doesn't know what that means. She doesn't know what kind of help she's going to get yet. But she is staying with friends, as are many people in Everglades City. They just have to stay wherever they can, you know, until FEMA comes and checks it out, because you don't want to remove all those things unless, you know, someone's taking a look at it, so
it's
that way you can
tough.
Get help.
It's tough to resist the urge to just fix up that house too and get back in, because you know that you can do that. You can get ahead of it.
But it's also financially, you know, it's very expensive when you just lost everything. So you
really
do just need that financial help from the federal government.
That boost to just get you back on your feet. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And when we talked with FEMA, they were pretty clear. They're not going to make people 100% whole, but they will give them what they need to just get back on their feet. It's just taking them a while, because as we all know, we've had a series of natural disasters and FEMA is stretched. I still have not gotten word from FEMA as to exactly how many inspectors they have on the ground in our counties. Mm-hmm. But they did tell us they had several hundred in the state of Florida. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, there's that. But I guess right now it continues to be a wait and see.
Right. And if people want help from FEMA, they are placed sometimes they're in Everglades City. I'm unsure as to how often or when they're there, but they do have stations there where you can sign up and apply. I believe the last day to apply for FEMA is November is November 9th. I have to double check that, but it's the beginning of November.
It's coming up.
It's coming up soon. That people have. Sorry, I don't have that number for you right now. But it's coming up soon, and people need to apply. And you can do that over the phone. You can do that online, and you can try to find a local place. You can do it in person as well if you just don't want to be on the phone for a couple hours.
Those things set up, and it kind of helps to navigate, because you do need to make sure that you have all your T's crossed and your I's dotted on those forms, and make sure you have all of the information that they're asking for, because all that will do is delay things.
I talked to a couple people who were saying, you know, I'm trying to get FEMA on the phone. Actually, Patty Demery was one of them, because they had something wrong on the address. And that's going to, you know, prolong the whole thing. So yeah, just making sure all of that information is correct as soon as possible.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, Jessica, thanks so much for all the reporting that you've been doing down there in Everglades City, and that I'm sure you're going to continue to do. I think it's been important to stick with that story.
Thank you so much for
stay on it.
Thank you so much for having me and letting me talk about it. I look forward to going out there and seeing what the trailers look like and who gets them, and the progress of the city. I mean, the Hurricane Irma is not really over yet for some people. So
it is definitely not. Mm-hmm. All right. Thanks so much, Jessica.
Thank you, Julie.
Our show today was produced by Rachel Iacovone, and yours truly. Our director is Richard Chin Kui, and our social media coordinator is Tara Callaghan. Gulf Coast Live is made possible through the generous support of the Elizabeth B. McGraw Foundation. For now, thanks for listening. I'm Julie Glenn. This is WGCU-FM Fort Myers 90.1. WMKO Marco Island 91.7 FM, NPR for Southwest Florida.